couple of opening comments, and then we'll have a song and a prayer and continue with our service. In the auditorium class this quarter, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. And on this occasion, in the Lord's Mountain message, Jesus is teaching some fundamental principles to his disciples. He's got a large audience, not all of them. In fact, many of them are not his disciples. But he's teaching some things regarding the characteristics of kingdom citizens. And Matthew refers to this in Matthew chapter 4 as the gospel of the kingdom. So it's important, the things that he's teaching. And there are messages that we can take from that we need to make application in our lives. At the outset of that lesson, beginning in chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, Jesus talks about the blessedness, the blessings that will be bestowed on those that manifest the traits of the citizens of the kingdom. And the blessedness that he's talking about there is a contentment that comes from having God's favor. And it's a blessedness, it's a contentment that results from having a right disposition toward God. It's a peacefulness and a calmness that exists apart from all external influences, and that we can have, just as we heard about this morning in Josh's lesson, regardless of what the world is doing, it's the contentment and the peace we have by being in Christ. For our song service this evening, we're going to be singing about those specific traits that define Jesus' disciples. In Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, if you want to turn to that place, we'll be referring to it throughout this period of devotion. The corresponding blessings that come from manifesting the various traits have been promised. So if we are in Christ, if we do those things, if we manifest the things God has asked of us, if we live these things in our life, the peace that we're going to enjoy from that is going to not only last in this world, but throughout eternity. So the songs we're going to be singing this evening are going to emphasize some of the specific characteristics that are to be manifested in the lives of Christ's disciples and the blessings that are associated from being in Christ. Let's begin with a song.
First song is going to be number 675, The Blessed Life. We're going to sing it just as it's written, with the basses on verse 1, and then bring in the altos, then the tenors, and then the sopranos.
Blessed, blessed, blessed are we, whom God has blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought His name to confess, hungered and sought His righteousness. We are blessed, blessed, blessed are we, God has blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought His name to confess, hunger and sought His righteousness. We are blessed, blessed, blessed are we, God has blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought His name to confess, hunger and sought His righteousness.
Number 9 in the supplement, give me a kind, forgiving heart. I recognize that this will be a new song for many of us. It's actually a new song for me, and only, unfortunately, got a few minutes with it today. It's a busy afternoon. But we're going to do our best with it. If we could, let's just sing verse 1. Everybody can sing, but we'll sing just the soprano line, all in unison, just so we know the melody. Then on verse 2, we can pick up the parts.
Give me a kind, forgiving heart. Let pardon be my goal. May no grudge enter in my heart today.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for the health of us that are able to be here today. Thank you for the rain that we've received. Thank you for the freedom that we have to assemble here today. Lord, we know how blessed we are to be your people. We ask you to help us to be the type of people that you want us to be. We want to be poor in spirit and always be looking to serve you and to be reverent to you. And we know that the kingdom of heaven is our reward. We know that those of us that mourn will be comforted, Lord, and we ask you to remind us of that each day. Lord, we ask you to help us to be more meek, Lord, as we know that that's a tough thing in this world today, as it goes against what most people in the world strive for, power and strength. But Lord, we know that being meek is what will help us inherit the earth and to please you. Please help us to do that. And Lord, we want to always hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we ask that you help us to do that every day. So we know that we will be satisfied if that's the case. Lord, help us to be merciful. We know that you are merciful to us. And we just hope that that we can be more merciful to others, so that we can earn your mercy. And Lord, help us to be pure in heart. Such a tough thing with so many distractions and so many other things in this world that we have to be pure in heart, Lord. But help us. Help us to do that because we do want to see you one day. Help us to make peace in a world that doesn't have much peace, Lord. Those that have been persecuted, Lord, we hope, we pray that you'll continue to be with them as we know that you are. Lord, those that are serving you and serving others in all parts of the earth, Lord, and we know that it's tough some places and that there's persecution there. And we just ask you to continue to give strength to those that are spreading the gospel other places. And help them to always be reminded that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They continue to do your work despite the persecution. We know, Lord, that this country is not short of it either. And we know that it will probably be coming more and more in the days to come that we ourselves may face persecution at times for serving you. Be with us. Keep us focused on you and your kingdom. Lord, when men cast insults on us and persecute us, just give us that strength to resist those things and continue to focus on you. We know that our reward in heaven will be great if we can do those things, Lord. Help us to serve you. Help us to serve others, Lord. And help us to treat others as we want to be treated. It's a golden rule, Lord, and we know that, as Jesus' words told us on that great sermon, that there's no better responsibility for us than to treat others the right way. Help us to do that and always be mindful of that, Lord. We're mindful, Lord, at this time of some of our number that are recovering, that are sick, Barbara Lamb, Xavier Gray, and others. Lord, be with them. Continue to help them to recover. Help those that are sick that we may not know of be comforted and to heal. Lord, we're so thankful for all the young people we have in this congregation, the children that show such servitude to you and such a desire to be your people. And it's so encouraging, Lord. We're thankful for the obedience of Miles this past week, and just know that the encouragement that he is to those even younger than him that look up to him and all of those others, Lord, the teenagers, high school, middle school, college kids, to help them to realize what a great influence they are on the so many young children that we have here. Lord, continue to bless those that are elderly in our congregation. We have many, and we know that they suffer daily with many infirmities and ailments, yet they still make every effort to be here and to serve others. Help us to do what we can for them as well. Lord, forgive us for our sins. We sin daily. We're sorry for that, but we continue to do it. We ask for your help. We ask for you to give us strength to resist the temptation to sin every day and to find ways to avoid those sins that we repeat. Lord, let us look to Jesus as an example. He was the perfect example that came to the earth and lived as a man, suffered and died as a criminal, Lord, despite having no sins himself. It's through him that we pray all these things at this time. Amen.
You'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you're not there, we're going to read the first four verses. Matthew 5, 1 through 4. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The first two characteristics that Jesus spoke of were spiritual poverty and a corresponding meekness. A lowliness of mind that comes from realizing that we're totally dependent on someone other than ourselves for our well-being and for our salvation. The kingdom of heaven is not intended for those that are satisfied, for those that are full, for those that see no need, but rather it's for those that are empty and impoverished. The poor in spirit are those who, regardless of their possessions, realize that they're spiritually bankrupt. They're despondent in that regard. And it has to do with the attitude that we're to have of ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And that is that we are nothing and He is all. Likewise, those that mourn does not refer to those that just feel the weight of earthly sorrow. Although earthly sorrow can have effect on us if we recognize through it how brief life can be, and if that compels us to alter our lives. But this verse refers to the type of sorrow that comes by choice, from an awareness of the effects of sin. And this type of sorrow is the crying of people who see sin for what it is and for just how putrid it is in God's eyes. These spiritual mourners are the ones that are the blessed.
Number 28, Is It For Me? I believe we will be singing all four verses of this song.
Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee ever?
please join me in standing for our next song, number 21 in the supplement, On Bended Knee I Come.
Oh, on bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you, as I pledge my love anew, I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth, make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee I come, with a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I look upon your face, show your mercy and your grace. Change my life, O Holy Spirit. Make me fresh and ever new. Make my life a holy sacrifice to you.
Please be seated.
Number 408, Cleanse Me. 408.
Know me, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Grant me desire to magnify Thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy love divine. Take in me, Thy word.
continuing in our reading in Matthew 5, verses 5 and 6. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Greek word that's used for meekness here is found in other literature, Greek literature, referring to a horse that has been well controlled. And it's the idea of exercising restraint in spite of the power behind the entity. In this case, it's toward the will of God, but it's got an application towards men as well. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." A meek person is a person that bows his will to the will of God, even if it doesn't come naturally, even if it's hard. And it is a hard thing at times to suffer wrong and to not strike back. But the spiritually meek have taken on the yoke of Christ, and they're guided by Christ's principles and by his example and his unconditional love. The idea of hungering in this passage is to crave ardently, to fill an emptiness that's needed for our nourishment that can't be filled with anything on earth. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness realize the guilt of transgressing God's law and the need for renewed righteousness that they of themselves cannot provide. They're the ones who will be filled. They'll be forgiven of sin, and they'll be changed by a restored relationship with the Father of all things. Those who seek that righteousness are the ones that shall be filled.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen. All three verses.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and pure.
Deer, number 589.
You alone are my God.
thou fount of every blessing. Number 420. Let's stand as we sing this song, please.
O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove, while the hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interpose his precious blood. O to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never
Verse 7, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Over in James, the second chapter, verse 15, reads, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of them says to you, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Being merciful is a concern for people who are in a miserable condition. It's God's ministry to the miserable. In James, the second chapter, backing up a few verses, beginning in verse 11, it says, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. For if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. In the day of judgment, may we all live our lives as those that need mercy from God, and not as one who's a vessel of wrath and where there'll be no mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And then in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are utterly sincere, clean, pure, undefiled. It's one who lives their life full of integrity. They're the same person in this building as they are at home, as they are at work, as they are in the private times of their life. In Psalms, the 24th chapter, the psalmist writes, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully. I'm not sure of the blessings of the Beatitudes if you can have a favorite. I want to have the kingdom of heaven. I want to be comforted. But if I had to pick a favorite, to be able to see God face to face one day is something that's hard for me to comprehend and to imagine. But it's the pure in heart that will one day see God.
I will sing of the mercies. 660.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing.
In the supplemental book, The Lord is My Light.
And He
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We'll sing all three verses, and on the third verse, we'll slow down. Do mi pure.
Face to face, the 399, face to face.
Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him,
Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The peacemaker is never seeking conflict for conflict's sake. They release tension, they don't feed it. They seek solutions, not arguments. They calm the waters, they don't cause ripples. They work hard to keeping an offense from occurring. They generate more light than heat. They lower their voices instead of raising them. This isn't compromising truth for the sake of unity, but one that tries to share the message of peace so that the walls of division between people are broken down. All these characteristics we've read and have sung about up to this point is about the heart. It's about those that want to give themselves completely and totally to Jesus. And for their thanks, the world will persecute them. In verse 10 it says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What an honor and a privilege it would be to be persecuted and perhaps even die for the sake of our Savior, and to be listed among the heroes of faith and the prophets that have gone on before us.
Let's sing A Common Love, and I don't believe this is in the songbooks. A Common Love. Song is number 19 in the supplements, Sanctuary. Number 19.
Thanks.
I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, all three verses.
I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend His cause.
Songbook and would like to mark the song of invitation. The song is 489. Blessed are they, number 489. The song before is 275, and I ask that you join me in standing as we sing this song.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cross, or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds?
Hopefully, though, it was beneficial to all. There have been many thoughts and on my mind as I've engaged in this study, this challenging study on the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus is asking us to search our hearts. He's asking us to make a radical change in our lives. He's cast off these misfits that we've read about, as at least the world would view them. The irony of it all is they are the world's only hope. In verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." In verse 14, "You are the light of the world." In a world that is full of decay, we are the preservative. In a world that is full of darkness, we are the light. And in verse 16 it says, "And so that your Father may be glorified." The religious leaders were there that day to having made accusations of Jesus about abolishing the law. He said in verse 17, "I do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And then down in verse 20, he says, "For I say unto you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus lays the gauntlet for those that day and for us, that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we're in jeopardy of missing the kingdom of heaven. He takes it a step further at the very end of this chapter in verse 48. He says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I can't but help over the last few weeks in studying this, and challenging and questioning my ability to fully understand and comprehend and come to terms with what Jesus is asking us. And perhaps we could look at it and say, it's just too hard. And it could leave us hopeless if we're not careful. Because Jesus is wanting to perform radical open heart surgery on us. The question is, will we let him? And so as we consider this tonight, what we have going for us is that we have a Savior who died for our sins. We have a Father in heaven who sits on a throne that is pulling for us every step of the way. We have the heroes of faith that are in the grandstands cheering us on. We have a system that we have provisions made for when we fail. It won't be easy. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. But it needs to be our reigning passion. It needs to be the consuming goal and objective of our lives, because our Savior died for us. And it's the least that we can do in return. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, will you please come now as together we stand and sing.
Blessed are they who do His commandments. They shall claim the tree of life. Into the city they shall enter. They are victors in the strife. Blessed are they. Into the city they shall enter.
This time has been set aside for those who did not have the privilege to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray for the bread. Holy Father, who art in heaven, we are truly grateful for this another day that thou hast given us. Father, we are mindful of the great sacrifice was made on our behalf that we might have this privilege to gather around this table to memorialize the sacrifice that gives us the privilege to be called thy children. Father, as we partake of this bread, we pray for all who will partake of it.